Thank you, Kim. Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis. Here is Richard Roper. He has thoughts on many, many, many different things. Coming up, we're going to be playing News or Ruse with Judy Pilak. She is in the building.
God.
And
I knew it.
Don't forget that, that you can meet Judy Pilak this weekend, and not just on Twitter. Or I'm sorry, on Tinder. Thank you.
It's the third time you've used that joke.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Come on now.
Not just on Tinder.
Imagine that Judy will have something to say about that.
She already has.
She's sleeping on the newsroom couch. She's not listening.
But she's already.
She's drunk.
Martini glass on the floor next to her. She got her feet up on the couch.
Well, why not?
And a newsroom couch that she put in the newsroom.
But no one was allowed to sit on it other than her.
Yeah. It's very
weird. She said, wake me up for News or Ruse.
That's fantastic.
She's taking it very seriously.
She used to say, wake me up when it's over, and she still would win, which was really annoying.
She is going to be at the Goodwill store in Lake Zurich on Saturday from noon until 2. It's going to be spooktacular, it says here.
Okay.
You could win a Halloween-themed centerpiece created by Judy herself. Second prize is 3 centerpieces that are made by Judy herself. Details at WGNRadio.com/events.
Okay.
It's located at 746 South Rand Road in Lake Zurich. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Roper, let's talk about... Can we start with... Because we just mentioned Joker in the top 5.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
You just had an opportunity to see it. I don't know if this is your official review, but your initial thoughts on it, because it's very controversial.
Yeah, well, we could... You know, we get tomorrow to talk about the movie, although, you know, we can talk a little bit about it. I mean, I will tell you, I think it's an impressive piece of filmmaking, but as you guys have been talking about for the last couple of weeks, all these concerns that this is going to incite rioting, they're stepping up security at theaters. The parents of some of the Aurora victims sent a letter to the studio, even, you know, saying that we're fearful that this is going to be a sympathetic portrayal of a murderous, you know, villain. You don't want to criticize the parents of anybody who's gone through that or the families, and you can understand their concerns. But in all the cases we talked about, these were people had not seen the movie, and sometimes based on the trailer, sometimes based on, unfortunately, there's a lot of press out there, and then the press just reports on the press and then reports on the press. So now, you know, the concerns become bigger because people call the police and say, you know, a reporter will call, hey, what are you going to do about the, you know, and they're like, well, we're going to look into it. There's no credible threat right now, or nobody's saying they're going to do anything because of the Joker movie.
But the New York Police Department is already saying they're going to put undercover officers in some of the...
Yeah, and I do understand, like, you know, the one thing is they're asking people, like, don't wear the Joker clown mask or do, you know, face paint. Because, yeah, that is... It's going to make it difficult to identify somebody if there's a group there. I don't understand why anybody needs to dress up for any movie ever.
Separate issue.
But, you know, we've been talking about this for 50 years, whether or not movies and TV shows and video games incite violence, and the studies are inconclusive at best. But having seen the movie, I can tell you this. The one thing I can tell you... You know, without doubt, I don't know how anybody could see that movie and think that it glamorizes the Joker or anarchy in any fashion whatsoever. It's a very chilling portrait of a very damaged person because it's an origin story. You know, he's Arthur Fleck. The movie is set in the early 1980s in Gotham City, which is clearly New York in this version of that universe. He's a damaged guy. He's got a delusional mother. He's on 6 different kinds of medications. He has this condition. He has one of those cards. You know, people sometimes will hand you a card saying, I cannot speak or I have a condition. He has a card that says he will laugh uncontrollably at the most inopportune moments. That's sort of one of his afflictions, which is really chilling when you hear the Joker laughing at the exact wrong times. And then it's about how he further spirals out and, you know, becomes violent. But it's done in a, it's an R-rated movie, and it's not done in a comic book kind of way. When he kills people, it's like when you're, it's like Taxi Driver, which is a movie it's being compared to. It's not that good or seminal, but it's that kind of violence where I don't see how anybody would see that or see that as some sort of call to arms. And then in terms of, you know, the anarchy and the rioting and stuff, well, we've seen that in the Dark Knight movies. We've seen that in other, you know, movies of all kinds where there's some sort of revolution against the 1% or, you know, the wealthy. There's nothing in this movie that glamorizes this character at all. He's you know, he is somebody who will give you nightmares in the middle of the night. Not somebody you'd be like, I want to be like the Joker.
Yeah.
Not like the Jack Nicholson Joker. It was kind of a, you know, tap dancing. He was nuts, but wasn't really that menacing when you look back at it.
All right. So your position on this is that it's a lot of, I happen to firmly believe that a lot of this hype is designed just to draw attention to the premiere of it. So
I don't know. The director Todd Phillips hasn't been doing himself any favors in the interviews, and we talked about how they didn't even allow press on the red carpet. I don't think this movie needed that, but yeah, I mean, it's got people talking that don't normally talk about movies. You're going to see cable news channels. You know, is the sure. Joker, you know, an anti-Trump? Is the Joker an anarchist? You know, is it incite violence? As always, if somebody sees a movie and goes out and does anything, the person responsible would be the person who does something. You can't blame it on the movie, the TV show, the book, or anything else. Individual responsibility. But they just don't. I don't see this movie. The idea that it somehow glamorizes. There are other movies that have done, far more. I think could be far more vulnerable to criticism that they kind of glamorize killers. This is not one.
Okay. All right. Okay? All right. So now you have looked at the Netflix comedy selections. For the Netflix, the stand-up comedy stuff. Because they basically, Netflix now pays hundreds of millions of dollars to comedians. They just, this Chappelle deal that they just did, I think it's a $60 million deal for him. It's, somewhere around there.
Yeah, crazy numbers are being thrown out there, and I think a lot of them are probably pretty accurate. Well, I did a roundup for the Sun-Times today. It's online, like a two-page spread. But it'd be interesting to look, because the stand-up specials, as you know, whenever you go on Netflix, or also Hulu and certainly Amazon Prime. Jim Gaffigan's on Amazon Prime now. He split with Netflix. But they're always right there, and you might like this. It's one of the things, and it's always one of the most popular things. The stand-up special is a guaranteed eyeball getter, and I guess money maker in some ways for Netflix, because people love these shows. They're an hour long, almost always an hour long. Some of them are pretty raunchy, but as compared to the really heavy stuff that you get, like the binge watching shows about serial killers like Mindhunters or even Handmaid's Tale, where you really have to focus, you can put a stand-up special on with a bunch of people and you can put it on pause, or you can watch for 10 minutes and come back 2 days later,
right,
and watch. I think so these shows are enormously popular, to the point where, quite frankly, I'll go on there sometimes and I'll go, they'll be like, in his third stand-up special in Madison Square Garden, Joe Nobody is wowing the crowd. I'm like, I don't know who this is. I mean, they're, and some of them are really, really great. Some of them are not. The ones I did for the roundup today, these are all names I think you guys would know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are interesting, because a lot of these specials these days, especially with the men who have been kind of, around for a while, a lot of it, of the comedy, is about what they can say in the comedy, or how they feel comfortable about the comedy, or how things have changed in terms of the social consciousness. We got a clip here. This is Aziz Ansari in a series of shows he did in Brooklyn. And he had kind of his own little, dust up and controversy. And he talks a lot about that, and also about how all of us, though, in the culture, it takes a while for us to become, quote unquote, woke.
Cultural context, right? Change everything. Look at all this R. Kelly stuff. All this information was out there in the past, right? There was the Aaliyah thing, there was the tapes, and everyone just kind of looked the other way, right? But now the culture has reached a breaking point. Now that there is a bingeable 6-hour documentary, culture's like, hey, it's one thing for all this information to be out there in a 20-page long read, but now that it's been packaged in an entertaining fashion, no more!
That's very wise, right? I mean, very true. I think R. Kelly comes up in about 4 of the specials that are out there with different people, and Chappelle does a lot of the same.
He does, yeah.
You didn't love the Chappelle Sticks and Stones.
No, what I didn't like about the Chappelle stuff is, like, he can't, first of all, he can't get away from the making jokes about trans people habit he has. And even here, he just goes, he kind of talks about always becoming woke, but then he goes, I just can't help myself. And the jokes are cheap and beneath him, because he's so smart and so insightful, but he does a lot of that, and he does a lot of complaining about how the super rich, super successful comedian is boxed in these days, and
it's like
that's an elite group. Yeah, and he's a guy, listen, he's a self-made guy, came from nothing, but it does, when he starts bemoaning that poor Kevin Hart and poor Louis C.K., you're like, well, there's like 9 of you, right. And then there's the rest of the world.
I watched some of his stuff on Netflix, and I felt like he goes to so many places that make you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, he definitely does.
And he makes it funny, but he even takes major shots at the audience, at you watching, and it's remarkable how he pulls it off, and people love it.
That's the point of Sticks and Stones, though.
Yeah,
which is
it, yeah, I mean,
this
it is Sticks and Stones,
I think that this, I will disagree with both of you. I think this is a transcendent work that he has done in Sticks and Stones, because he's trying to make a change here. In the same, there was a lot of criticism of some other major comedians over the years, of Richard Pryor from Sunset Strip, or Eddie Murphy, you know, in Raw.
Delirious and Raw.
That they were like, well, what are they doing? We shouldn't be doing that. And what I think that Chappelle is trying to say here is he's commenting on the cancel culture, right? The idea that if you don't like what somebody said or they did, then they must be excommunicated from all of pop culture, regardless of their canon of work. And so Louis C.K., who had an amazing career, you know, he got weird, and he didn't invite these women up to his hotel room, and they went to his hotel room. Mm. And Chappelle makes the point that they went up to the hotel room is a little bit of blaming the victim of a creepy situation in that. But he does it, I think he does it in a way in which he's provoking a question as opposed to blaming the victim. But there's been a lot of criticism of it, but there are some moments in that stand-up where you stop and you just, even if it's not laugh out loud, you have a revelatory moment the way you did with Richard Pryor.
Sure.
That's true.
That's very
true. And you're like, oh my God, that is so right.
That's what I found, because I mean, I gave it a very two and a half star type review, because the stuff that's great is great. You know, the stuff where the Michael Jackson stuff to me, you know, where he just flat out decides he doesn't want to believe the guys. It's not to the level of some of the other stuff. When he talks about how the opioid crisis, you know, he says, well, now you know how we felt about the crack epidemic of the 80s, because I don't care about what's happening to the white people. You didn't care what's happening to us. And there's like, you know, or when he talks about his kids going to a school shooter drilling, and he goes, well, I don't know, my kids are black. I literally wouldn't be looking at them right now. You know, I mean, it's some harsh realities, but it makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he talks about the famous French actor, Jussie Smollett.
Yes.
That's great.
Doesn't get better than that.
Empire. We got a little bit of that real fast.
Black people never feel sorry for the police, but this time we even felt sorry for the police. Can you imagine if you was a police veteran taking this kid's police report? Okay, Mr. Smollett, please tell me what happened. All right. 2 a.m. You left the house at 2 a.m. It's minus 16 degrees. All right. You were walking. All right. And where were you going? Subway. Sandwiches? That's when the men approached you? Did you see them? Do you have any? Okay, what do they have on? MAGA hats! MAGA hats on in Chicago? Excuse me 1 second, Mr. Smith. Yeah. Frank, come here for a second. Find out where Kanye West was last night.
That's good stuff. That's great stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
enjoyed it.
I loved it. And actually, the one that was right before this one, I thought it was even better. It's hard to top. But because just as a fan of comedy and watching these guys as artists, what he did in the one previous to this, we'll find out the title of that on the other side.
Yeah, there's three he's done.
Right, so the second one. Yeah. This is the second most recent. He does something where he opens up with a line. You have no idea what he's talking about, and it's really grotesque and dirty and fun all at the same time. And then you're like, what the hell is he talking about there? And then 59 minutes and 50 seconds later, you find out.
That's amazing.
And it is one of the greatest magic tricks I've ever seen.
It's a reveal that just gets you.
Right, a comedian
comes out
do.
Of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. So it just is. He is about as good as they get, I think, in the business right now. But again, to your point, and the whole point of this thing in the Sun Times that you've got today, Richard Roper, is that, you know, comedy is back in a big way because of Netflix, because of all of these streaming services.
Yeah. And people like Bill Burr and Nikki Glaser, who's having a moment right now. They're all getting their specials.
Who's the best one to you right now?
Yeah.
What's the best
one? Well, honestly, I just think for pure, Chappelle's heart is an all-time great. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think for someone who's got a timeless type of comedy right now that would have worked in any decade, Jim Gaffigan doesn't, there's no wasted word. It's very Seinfeld-esque in terms of, like, it's perfectly crafted comedy.
Gotta check that out.
All right. There we go.
And you can watch that with your mom. And your grandma.
Oh, good.
And that's on Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
All right.